DW Africa Link.
2024 is a whirlwind year for elections, with ballots being cast and power shifting around the globe. Today, we zoom in on Botswana, where voters delivered a historic shakeup, voting out the long-standing ruling party. What drove this major political shift? And what does it signal for the future of Botswana and Africa's democratic landscape? Stick around as we unpack the results, the reactions, and the ripple effects of this unexpected turn in Botswana's political story. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
After more than 50 years under the same ruling party, the people of Botswana have made a seismic decision at the ballot box. Last month's general election saw voters firmly reject President Masisi's bid for a second term, instead handing power to opposition leader Duma Boko in a historic shift. Masisi, recognizing the people's will, graciously conceded and congratulated Boko, marking a new era for Botswana. But what does this dramatic change mean for Botswana's democracy? Will it spark new policies, reforms, and a shift in regional influence? Join us as we delve into the implications, the public response, and what this election means for the future of one of Africa's most stable democracies with Adam Fundisi, a political analyst and DW correspondent in Botswana, Pemelo Ramasu.
So thank you so much, Pemelo, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. You are on ground and there is shocking news, I would say, out of Botswana. What's the mood now in Botswana after the president conceded defeat?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how to give you a picture of what is happening. Just thinking about the events of the past couple of days, I'm getting goosebumps all over again. We are excited. Everyone is excited. We are celebrating. We still can't believe that this has finally happened.
Mm. Let's talk about the results, Pemelo. Were you yourself shocked by the outcome?
I can tell you 100% I was shocked. On Thursday, I think during the day or late afternoon, I was speaking with supporters of the UDC, and they were telling me that the BDP must ready itself to be the opposition. You know, in that moment, I was laughing. I was like, no, it will never happen. Mm. Like this year, I didn't see it as a possibility.
Where did the ruling party go wrong? I mean, this is a party that's been in power for over 5 decades. And I was just wondering, does this have anything to do with Ian Khama? Where exactly did they go wrong?
For starters, I think the ruling party was not in touch with what was happening on the ground. I think maybe they were just too confident and they thought once again Botswana will give them the seat. If I can tell you that Botswana, for the past elections, they've been saying one thing. They were afraid of change. That's why the opposition has not been winning. We were afraid of change. We were afraid of the unknown. We were afraid of going into unknown territory. The BDP for the past 5 decades, they were familiar, you know, they were familiar. We knew that the BDP, we were not expecting anything out of the ordinary from the BDP. But what happened now, I don't know. I don't know how to explain everything. But I can also tell you that the events of the past couple of months, we have been seeing some negative things happening. We have had one member of parliament who won the BDP primaries being suspended because one of the favorite candidate who was a favorite of President Masisi, Peggy Tserame, she locked the BD primaries. And then all of a sudden, the winner of those primaries was suspended, and he ended up standing as an independent. So all of these events that have been brewing, they might have led to the BDP losing.
Mm, right. And how are the supporters of the ruling party and opposition reacting to the outcome of the election?
I can tell you that right now it feels like the supporters of the BDP do not exist. They have gone quiet.
It's expected.
Yeah, I think most of them are still pinching themselves. They are still like, no, this is a dream. They want to wake up from this nightmare because it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Right now, the country is the color blue. You are only seeing blue.
Mm.
There is no red anywhere.
We just want to find out from you, Adam, how would you assess the conduct of the election itself?
Thank you for having me discuss what has been happening in this country, particularly the 2024 general election. In response to your question, what I can state without any fear of contradiction is that the integrity of the election or the electoral process in Botswana is questionable. There are many questions and answers. The pre-election phase in particular was riddled with controversies, with court cases that border on the professionalism, on the independence, on the partiality, transparency of the electoral process. Starting, of course, with the registration of voters, in which the opposition appealed to the IEC to allow it to deploy observers, monitors to ensure the integrity of the electoral process. The court case was concluded by the court on the favor of the IEC, or it maintained the IEC position that the law does not allow for monitoring, observation, etc. So the voting process was muddled through or was affected by the pre-election phase, when there were many controversies, the opposition claiming that the election is going to be rigged, that the IEC is not professional, it's not competent, it's not ethical, it's not impartial, and therefore the electoral process, the voting process will be muddled through, will be tampered with, will be fraud, will be rigged, etc.
Yeah. Yes, but now that the opposition has scooped the result, has won the election, do you feel they still carry the same sentiments?
Yes. They still have questions on the integrity of the electoral process. They still believe that it needs to be reformed.
Okay.
So that it gives all competing political parties the level playing field. But they would also credit the Madibela Tobo. That was part of the UDC, which were basically poll watchers, monitors, observers on the electoral process, making sure that the electoral law has followed to the letter and the spirit, that all processes are duly observed. And therefore, they will say that it's because of their efforts to try to stop rigging in terms of stealing voter intimidation, voter buying, voter impersonation, misrecording, tampering with the ballot boxes, the NTTC. So they would basically credit the Mandela Thobo group, which is part of the UDC, for stopping, facilitating any attempt to rig the election.
Right. But Adam, yes, right. I was just wondering, Adam, does this outcome that the ruling party that has been in power for over 5 decades has now been booted out, does this have anything to do with the way the former president Ian Khama has been treated?
No. That's could have contributed minimally, not decisively.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that personally, I chased the downfall of the BDP from 1966 to date, that they were not able to change the constitution so that it reflects the realities of 5 decades, which basically concentrated power in the office of the president.
Right.
And therefore, as we know, power corrupt and absolute power corrupt absolutely.
Right.
So the whitewash that we witnessed, the window change, is reflective of many years of frustration, primary anger, apprehension, frustration, anxiety by the people. Because since independence, the lives of the people have not changed dramatically, improved dramatically, the quality of life. Amidst, of course, the diamond boom, the revenue from diamond that calculated the country to a higher income status. But that does not percolate down to the lives of the people.
Right.
Through lack of vision by the GDP, corruption, maladministration, arrogance of power, and other pathologies that has led to where we are, economic crisis today. With serious consequences for the youth in particular, unemployment, poverty that is rampant, inequality, and other ills that have befallen this country for 58 years.
Right. Now, Adam, let's talk about the results. Let's talk about the results themselves. Were you shocked by the outcome?
I was shocked by the turnout, shocked about the wind of change, dramatic. But there was a move for change, but not in this dramatic fashion. We thought that it would be a competitive election where the opposition would win, but not on this magnitude. We expected change, but not the dramatic turn of events. But the mood of change was blowing throughout the length and breadth of this republic. But the dramatic, the revolution, the political tsunami, the earthquake, and what have you that the fallen, the BDP, and what have you, was a shock.
That was a shocker, right?
That was a shocker.
But is this good, Adam, for Botswana that finally there is a new party in power to diversify governance?
It was long overdue. It was good. It should have happened in 2019.
Okay.
But for reasons that I'm not able to fathom, and also in addition, the allegations of electoral fraud and rigging that took place, or alleged has taken place in 2019, postponed the change to 2024. The mood in 2019 was more pronounced than 2024, but it didn't happen. But 2024, it was tackled. It was COVID. People really put that to their chest, COVID. It was not like 2019. But this time, people were sort of suckled. They didn't express that mood for change and what it is. But it's the only 30th of October that changed. So it was expected. It was delayed in 2019, but it has come to pass in 2024.
Right, right. Now, what are the most important issues now the new government would have to deal with going forward?
The UDC has a big problem on its hands. It came to power after 15 years of the BDP rule or misrule. It is faced with many problems, economic, social, political, as well as the environmental challenges, threats, and of course opportunities for youth to shine. So there are bigger problems that faces this country. Our fiscal are in the red. So the UDC is a mammoth task to transform the economy of this country. It has a big challenge to fight corruption, which has ravaged this country, which has exacerbated our poverty, our unemployment, the inequalities, poor infrastructure in all its manifestations, the democratic big sliding that we have experienced over basically 5 years of President Masisi's rule. So
right.
The UDC has a mammoth task to do.
Right, right. Now speaking of
President 5 years.
Right. Now speaking of President Masisi, do you think that's the end of his political career?
President Masisi could have been booted out in 2019. And due to their strategies to win elections through hook and book in 2020, 2019, 2024, Masisi is history. He has been relegated to political oblivion. It was political annihilation. He just has to go to the political grave site. It's the end of the Masisi era, the end of the road. He has shown that he did not possess character and the leadership for the highest office of the land.
Right. And what happens next now, Pemelo? Of course, we're expecting the swearing in of the new president. Do we know the timelines for that?
We are ahead. Yesterday, Botswana's sixth president, President Advocate Duma Bok. I'm still getting used to this.
You've been used to Masisi for years.
I'm still getting used to the name. Our president was sworn in yesterday afternoon. So we officially have a new president.
That's on the 1st of November.
Yes. During his address, he highlighted the importance of taking oath without delay, stating that any postponement will leave the country without a leader. So he has been sworn in.
Right. So what challenges do you think now await the new government, the new president? What are the major issues Botswana citizens want addressed sooner than later?
He has a lot of work in his first 100 days in office. Botswana are waiting anxiously to see how the UDC and the new government are intended to address issues such as unemployment and lack of basic needs, such as water. The UDC manifesto has a number of key points. If I can just mention some of them, they include increasing the living wage to 4,000 and average salaries to 10,000. They've also promised to create close to 500,000 jobs in the next 5 years. They've also promised to construct 100,000 houses in 5 years, and they intend to cut water and electricity tariffs by 30%. And we use sanitary pads to primary and secondary students. So they have a lot of work on their hands, and we are waiting to see how they are going to
implement
all of these issues and implement everything that they have promised.
Right, because you know, because people promise you heaven and earth usually when they are campaigning. So we just hope that they will stick to their promises, right? And now, just as we wrap up, Pamelo, this seemed to be a change of wind in the SADC region. I mean, we saw this happen in Zambia. Now it's happening in Botswana. We don't know which other country is next. But do we know if that's now the end of the political career of President Masisi?
I think so. There's no comeback from this. I think it's the end of an era for him. If he comes back, maybe he will come back in the next, I don't know, maybe 10 years. He will be how old then? Around 80 or he will be, because he's 68 now. So I don't think he will ever come back. Maybe there's hope for the BDP. I don't know. So I can't say if you say he has a comeback.
Right. But, you know, yes, right. I'm just thinking of what the shift that is likely, or the wind that is likely to blow in SADC. We saw this happen in Zambia as well, whereby a young leader from the opposition took over power. Now it's happening in Botswana. Do you feel, Adam, as we wrap up, this could be the new era that's about to start in SADC as a region?
Yes. It was also postponed in South Africa. We had a high expectation that the EFF would take over governance, for government of the of South Africa. And as you stated, the winds of change is blowing throughout the region, particularly in the southern hemisphere. Started in Zambia, now Botswana, and we expect that also to take place in Zimbabwe in the next general election. So people are pushing assigned liberation for political parties that are ascended to power at independence. They become irrelevant. They are now convicted for corruption and maladministration. They have wrecked the economies of SADC region through their lack of vision, through political corruption, maladministration, arrogance of power, trappings of power, etc. So what I'm expecting is that there is going to be a revolution in the SADC region, particularly spearheaded by the youth.
Right.
The youth in Botswana stood up and be counted in the 2024 general election. And they impacted on the electoral outcome.
Right.
So it's a revolution. Mm-hmm. It's a transformation in our SADC region where now new political leadership is coming to the forefront.
Right.
To transform our economy.
Right.
Adam Fundisi, a political analyst and DW correspondent in Botswana, Pemelo Ramasu, many thanks. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Still in the SADC region in Mozambique, violence following the disputed October 9 elections has left at least 10 dead and many injured. The ruling Frelimo Party, in power for nearly 50 years, was declared the winner, sparking protests over alleged vote rigging and suppression of opposition supporters, especially from the Podemos Party. Human rights groups demand an impartial investigation into the police's heavy-handed response, while Mozambican authorities assert that force was needed to maintain order. Remember to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening, and it's bye for now.
For Minds.